Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for the KE Report. Starting out the report, my premier guest today is Rick Ackerman. I have known Rick for an awful lot of years. Very good friend of the family. Whenever I'm looking for input on economic futures or conditions, Mr. Ackerman is the man who I always go to. Rick, all they're talking about right now is inflation. What are your comments on that, sir?
Well, thanks for inviting me on, Al. It's nice to connect to your audience. Everybody's talking about inflation, and I think it's a tough call, really. You know, I've been a deflationist for the last 40 years. I'm not really going to run up the white flag. You know, my idea of deflation is something precipitous. In other words, we have some liquidity event in the financial system, and it wipes so many zeros off the balance sheet that the Fed can't possibly keep the system liquid. That's really what I believe is going to happen. When the Fed puts as much money into the system as it has, and there's as much credit jangling around, and companies that have $40 or $50 billion worth of surplus are actually going out to borrow money to buy back their own shares because they don't want to use the real stuff. They don't want to waste what they consider real money on even stock buybacks. So, you know, you can see the asset inflation everywhere, and you can certainly see it in the prices are just unbelievable. You know, I'm going even, it doesn't matter whether I'm going to the pharmacy or to a restaurant or to this or to that, the prices are absolutely amazing for everything. And it's nothing like the inflation we had in the 70s. I think the definitions are being conflated there to make it easier to talk about inflation today. You know, the press always goes by, they're too lazy to use anything but the old script. But the fact is, the 70s inflation was driven by wages. It was what you called a spiral, meaning prices rose, wages rose to keep up, and then prices rose again, and it just kept on going like that. But we don't have anything like that in this economy. The inflation is so very different, because even though, yes, there is a little bit of wage inflation now, certainly at the minimum wage level, nobody really expects that wage demands are really going to be pushing all the cost of everything skyward as they did in the 70s. So this inflation is very different because it's really just based on an asset bubble. So whereas the 70s inflation, 1970s, just kind of happened organically in this spiral fashion, the quote-unquote inflation we're having today is no more, it could be absolutely deflated. It could be the bubble could burst tomorrow because it's an asset bubble that's essentially feeding the inflation. And it's not like wages have gone up so very much that they should be pushing the price of everything higher. It's mostly just money that was sitting around in the accounts of it's asset accounts of the let's say upper tiers of the middle class. So this quote unquote inflation can, if a bear market began tomorrow, what we call inflation today would be history. Everything would be deflating. So that's the nature of this inflation.
I agree 1,000%. I have to tell you, I am 77 years of age. I'm living off of, quite frankly, assets. And I am very, very concerned about the future. And I agree with you about the anomaly that this particular inflation represents. Why wouldn't I agree with you? You're so much brighter than I am. But what I'll tell you what bothers me is there is absolutely no concern on the part of the government, specifically the executive office, of increasing our debt. Just announced yesterday, even more debt is going to be many student loans, which represents hundreds of thousands of dollars, are going to be totally forgiven. That's not going to work. I really believe, Rick, that we are headed for a very significant economic collapse for that reason, among others. Can you comment on that?
Well, you know, I don't think there's one chance in 100,000 that we're going to avoid a major collapse. But of course, those of us who have been predicting it for the last 10 or 20 years have had a failure of the imagination. You know, no one could have anticipated 30 years ago when we were in the S&L crisis that we would inflate to so much higher levels. You know, back then we were discussing the S&L crisis, which in dollar terms was only who knows, it was penny ante, $600-700 billion.
Yeah.
And you know, I thought we'd had it then. But if you would have told me that the inflationary juggernaut to keep deflation at bay would inflate to quadrillions of dollars, and I mean to include the derivatives market in that, you know, a hyper leveraged financial edifice that is 10 times the size of the actual global economy in goods and services. But so you never, it's really hard to pick a top on craziness. You always tend to underestimate how crazy things can get. And that's where we are now. You know, there's some reputable technicians, chartists out there who say, hell, this bull market could run for another decade. And I'm ready to see it on the charts, but I'm also tending to get short at each place where I get essentially a good technical rally target.
Yeah.
So you really, everybody knows that the system is so discombobulated. There are no market rates in anything anymore. The bond markets have been destroyed. We can no longer price money. The price of borrowing is not any longer moored to market rates, so you can't say how far can that craziness go. And if you can drag out 10 charts that all say, well, this is topping and that's topping and we've got a divergence here or there, the charts can't make this thing stop.
No.
I mean, and I think some of the really best cycles forecasters out there, my friend Peter Elides for one,
yeah,
he tracks cycles going back for centuries, and this particular cycle, it would make you think, well, the cycles have been the natural law of cyclical behavior has been cast aside, that it no longer applies, but it will. It's just let's just say we've lengthened the cycle to create room for the really big one to happen.
Rick, let me ask you this. We're down to just about a minute here, and I know you're in a bit of a hurry, and I certainly appreciate your time for taking a few minutes here to chat with myself and my audience. I am predicting a major catastrophic economic event to occur, and I think that's, quite frankly, what the Democrats are going to be known for. They're going to try to blame Trump, but he's got nothing to do with it. Can you just comment on that real quick?
Well, I think Trump's out of range right now.
Yeah.
For any blame that might be affixed for whatever collapse is coming. You know, it's arguable whether it will happen during the remaining years of Biden, the Harris administration. It seems pretty obvious Biden isn't going to finish his term.
Right, right.
But I don't, you know, there's no certitude about a collapse coming while the Democrats are still in power.
There you go.
And I think the collapse is going to be so horrible, unimaginable, really, that it's going to essentially transcend not political differences, but whatever political solutions you think will be put into play, they will fall way short of what we're looking at. You know, this catastrophe is going to get... it may not bring Democrats and Republicans together in the get nice sense of the word, but we're going to be so busy dealing with economic catastrophe that politics, strictly speaking, will no longer obtain.
That scares the daylights out of me, Rick, when you say something like that, because 9 times out of 10, my friend, you're right.